You're listening to The Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 till 11 here on this Friday, February 2nd, as it is time for our Valley Talk program. I have a couple of guests joining me today, as we have Shannon Stassen and Mary Vogel talking about an event that's coming up on February 10th. But first, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Tyler. Thanks for having us on Happy Groundhog Day.
Yeah, Happy Groundhog Day. And Mary, are you there?
Yes, pleased to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. And so we're talking about an event that's coming up on the 10th. And so Shannon, I'll let you take it away. What is this event that's coming up?
Sure. The I Love Crookston event is happening, as you said, on Saturday the 10th of February, and it's really designed to be, as Mary kind of alluded to, a community conversation about Crookston. You know, the title is intentional, you know, around Valentine's Day, but also there's a ton of people in Crookston that love Crookston and love a lot of things about it, and we'd like to hear about that. We'd like to hear about the things that people dream about, and what's really neat is we're in historic times right now in terms of the funding that's available to get things done. And ultimately, Mary will share more about that process, but we really feel like there's some things that can happen and sooner than later to get things done to move Crookston forward. So yeah, come on out, enjoy some Happy Joe's pizza, visit with folks, neighbors and friends and folks from the Minnesota Design Center, and from Fresh Energy, and a bunch of other folks that have been working on some things already. And this is kind of a kickoff to a long process that will land us on some really cool things.
What's the end goal?
Yeah, the end goal really is to identify a strategy and projects that can be funded that make Crookston stronger, whether it's related to infrastructure or you know, just making our community stronger as a whole. There's a number of opportunities, more than even I can keep track of and kind of work in that field, but there's just a lot of things happening all at once, and the idea of bringing everybody together and you know, talking about those things and identifying, you know, what are some great next steps and a strategy to move forward as a community is really important.
And Mary, what is your role in this I Love Crookston event?
Well, I'm part of the Empowering Small Minnesota Communities effort, and I'm partnering with Shannon to do a community futures project within Crookston. This is the first of our community efforts as part of Empowering Small Minnesota Communities, and we're very excited about the possibilities of Crookston. There are lots of things going on already in Crookston, and the idea is to really create a strategy that will move Crookston forward, just like Shannon said, but not just a strategy. It's about these are the things that will move the strategy forward, and these are the projects that we want to move forward with funding applications. And part of the work that we do is not only do we help the communities identify projects, and you have a lot going on already, but we also help them position themselves so they can get funding. Right now, we have two federal efforts that have increased the amount of funding that's available for projects. It's a generational opportunity. The Investment in Infrastructure and Jobs Act, and the IRA, which is also focusing on energy projects, provide an opportunity for lots and lots of community-based projects. And, of course, we also have State of Minnesota has many other funding sources also, like the State Arts Board, the bonding, the Legislative Commission on Minnesota Resources, the historical grants that are available. So this is an effort to put everything together to move Crookston forward. We have worked in Minnesota on many occasions for over 20 years. About 20 years ago, I led the effort to develop the Red Lake River Corridor Enhancement Project. And Crookston is an important part of the Red Lake River. So I'm pleased to be back.
So how did you end up getting involved in this project here, or at least this event?
Well, it was my idea that small communities all across the state could benefit from some help from the university because of these large opportunities there are to get funding for projects, the IIJA and the IRA. And so I helped lobby through the legislature for funding to support community work. And I got involved in the Crookston project because there were a number of projects that were nominated for the very first pilot projects of the Empowering Small Communities work. And Tom Fisher and I from the Minnesota Design Center at the University of Minnesota in the College of Design chose Crookston because you had so many possibilities.
How important are small communities to the state as a whole?
Well, they're extremely important, and they're sometimes overlooked in terms of their potential. Shannon is the executive director of the Regional Sustainable Development Partnership, and that was an organization that was created by a banker from Plainview, and a county commissioner from Renville County. And they felt that many small communities were overlooked, and so they created the Regional Sustainable Development Partnership as a way to make the bridge between small communities and university resources. And this effort is part of that strategy. It's been going on now for a little over 20 years, and has developed many, many projects that have changed how communities see themselves and also changed the kind of access they have to the University of Minnesota. The Red Lake River Corridor was one of the first projects that was done by the Regional Sustainable Partnerships. And we feel that it's really important at the university and the College of Design to partner with locals. We're not coming into the community and telling them what to do. We're coming them into the community and listening to what they want and help them get what they want.
Are there any specific like projects in mind that that are like on the table for Crookston, or is this just kind of like I Love Crookston event an opportunity for people to maybe bring up some project ideas, or what is kind of the purpose of having this kind of event, especially here in Crookston?
Well, I would say that right now Crookston is involved in a lot of things. They're involved with energy issues. They are involved with updating their comprehensive plan. And part of what we would do is look at those efforts and see how we can weave them together for an overall strategy. I think, Shannon, why don't you explain a little bit about the energy initiative that you've been working so hard on?
Yeah, there's a core group that's been working as a part of this overall initiative, even though this is our launch, just because of deadlines that were that necessitated us moving faster with this one piece that is going to address energy efficiency in three wards in Crookston, three wards that are older wards. Two of them are located in Justice 40 tracks, which elevates their eligibility for certain things. So right now we've been working closely with the MPCA and have been included in the state's priority climate action plan. That's kind of a big deal when we looked at the applicants. There was over 300 submissions, and when it all shook out, Crookston is really the one rural type community. There's Duluth, and then there's a lot of metro and suburbs and stuff, but Crookston is the one that emerged out of that. And the team that's come together to work on that is Fresh Energy. John Vaughn has done a lot of work up here with Real Solar in the past, and he's moved over to Fresh Energy, a nonprofit out of the Twin Cities. The Clean Energy Resource Teams and Anna Peterson, who's located locally here and but serves the whole Northwest region like myself. We also have Carrie Kirschbaum and her whole gang over at Community Development with the City of Crookston. And we came together and not really, you don't even know what you don't know. You just produce what they're looking for and learn a lot about yourself and do a lot of research and the submission, they liked what they saw. So that's exciting. That'll mean what's in the application anyway is energy audits, upgrades and weatherization, heating systems, appliances for 700 homes in wards 1, 4, and 5. So that'll be really exciting if that all ends up hitting.
So what exactly are they looking for?
For
the energy part of this.
It's to reduce energy use across the state of Minnesota, and we had a plan to do that in three wards that are, have kind of risen to the top in terms of priorities, and we put forward did all the calculation, and I should give credit where credit's due. Taylor Wyom, who's our AmeriCorps person that works with us at RSDP, did a great analysis of how much carbon would be saved and money for homeowners and stuff, and I think that was a pretty compelling case for the MPCA to see this is real dollars that people save. And what's absolutely historic that this would be all free. I mean, once it hits there, the ultimately the money would be coming from the EPA federally. But there's also state matching dollars that have been set aside to cover what would normally be cost share needs from the residents. So, it's a pretty historic, and people think it's too good to be true, and it really feels that way. But we could make significant improvements to homes in those areas, and really no cost to the homeowners or very, very minimal, mostly their time and effort to apply and that sort of thing.
So how does that process turn out? How does that process work, I suppose?
Yeah, well, we'll find out. Like I said, we're learning as we go because this is brand new. And it certainly helps to have John Vaughn, and he's been in this world, the energy world, for most of his career, community development and clean energy for many years.
How long has this initiative been going on?
We found out this fall, and there was certain deadlines we had to meet, submissions and stuff, and a plan. And we just found out last week that we were included in the state's plan, which was a huge hurdle. But it seems like a blink of an eye. But it's been a couple months, 2.5, 3 months probably, that we've been really cranking away at this thing.
So is this like trying to get like more solar or wind energy involved, or is there another source of energy that you're trying to be efficient with?
Sure, there's in the renewable energy and clean energy movement, the number one thing you do is be more efficient. That's the very first thing that I, once I got involved with CERTS and RSDP, I mean, you want to help whether it's individuals or businesses or whatever, be as efficient as possible with their energy use first. But then, producing clean energy through wind and solar is one of the steps as well. So that's included also a wind and solar hybrid possibility. And, we'll see how that plays out. The idea is that would create resiliency for, emergency and critical infrastructure like police, fire, emergency management, healthcare, all that sort of stuff that we would be, even in the case if there was something that happened with the grid, that we could produce enough energy locally for our emergency services. That's the kind of the big plan.
So why should Crookston residents, you know, be excited about something like this? Or what are the benefits to the Crookston residents?
For this particular one or the whole process? Because it's there's incredible opportunities. That's trying to overcome that it's too good to be true. We're pretty savvy here in rural Minnesota. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. So we're getting past that. This really is a shift and a generational opportunity where, you know, things like this haven't happened probably since back coming out of the Depression, where projects were done, you know, by the federal government to create employment and stuff. But there's real opportunities to change communities in great ways, very impactful ways, and having a plan in place and having thought through all the needs of your community and what the community would like to see is really powerful. When you're submitting and say, we've talked to the community, we've seen what's needed and what's been worked on already, that's very impactful when you're submitting for those funds.
You talked about clean energy, renewable energy. So for those who aren't aware, what is clean energy? And then what also, how do you get renewable energy?
That's right. So a renewable would be like wind and solar. That's there's no combustion. You're not burning anything to get that energy. And clean energy is, like I said, one of the big things is reducing your overall energy use. That's the number one thing we can do, and it's the best business decision always. So whether people are on board with renewables or not, using less energy is just the right business decision, period, across the board. So that's the foundation of it. But wind and solar, and there's other technologies that are emerging that that we'll be looking, as a world, as a country and a world, we'll be looking at. But right now, wind and solar are probably the two main ones.
Mary, as we wrap up our Valley Talk program, do you have any final thoughts here?
Well, yes, I do. I have two that I want to stress, and that is that usually federal funding requires a 20% match, which is often a steep climb for small communities. But the legislature has set aside funding from the billions of dollars that were available this last session, and so the city of Crookston will not have to invest 20% in order to get federal funds. Fabulous opportunity. And I think the other thing I'd like to say is that we are going to be assembling a work group. And I hope that some of the people who are listening this morning would be interested in being part of the work group. Shannon and I need your help. Please volunteer.
And how can people get involved?
You can contact Shannon and or show up on Saturday, and we'd love to meet you.
Again, that's the I Love Crookston event. It's going to be taking place on Saturday, February 10th. It's going to go on from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's at the Crookston Public Library, and this is going to be a good conversation between community members and some of the higher ups as well. Is that kind of the general basis of what this event will be?
That is. It's a lot of listening, and it's certainly not what it's not is the university talking at people or saying this is what you should do. It's listening to what the community sees as priorities, and from that, Mary and that team at Minnesota Design Center helping build a strategy together, build a strategy with the community, and with a work group that's assembled that wants to move Crookston towards some of these opportunities.
Any final thoughts, Shannon, that you have?
No, I just defer to Mary for any final thoughts.
Mary, anything before we let you go?
Well, I can be reached at Vogel, V-O-G-E-L, 001, at umn.edu. And I'd love to hear from you.
Well, Mary, thank you very much for joining us via telephone here on our Valley Talk program. Shannon, thank you very much for showing up in person. Again, I Love Crookston is going to be coming up on Saturday, February 10th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's at the Crookston Public Library. There's going to be some free Happy Joe's pizza there as well. And a really great conversation between, as you said, the university and the Crookston residents. And it should be a really great and hopefully impactful event.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you very much, Shannon. And thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you for the opportunity. Bye.
Bye. As that was our Valley Talk program.